So we're in batch number six now of local news and features. It's Tim and Liz with you. We've got four more headlines. My headlines coming up are paramedics wasted 1,806 hours in Royal Stoke ambulance queues in just 1 week. Ambulance queues, not ambulance queues. And Karina76 won't be able to go to Tesco if D&G Buzz is axed. I'm sad now. I'll play my violin. Okay, so the next headlines coming up will be...
Inside Biddulph Grange Stumpery, the oldest and maybe now the largest in the country, and defiant Newcastle Borough Council determined to stop any Stoke-on-Trent takeover.
And Liz is going to read the first story for you.
The Stumpery at North Staffordshire's popular Biddulph Grange Garden may now be the largest in the country as well as the oldest, following renovation and expansion by the National Trust. A stumpery is a type of garden feature particularly popular in the Victorian era, where upturned tree stumps made an atmospheric setting for collections of plants, especially shade lovers. Created in 1856, Biddulph Grange's stumpery is the country's earliest and has inspired many others, including the one at Highgrove Gardens, the private home of King Charles III and Queen Camilla. The National Trust partially restored the stumpery when it took the Grade 1 listed garden into its care in 1988, with further sections restored in phases. Now the team has completed the restoration and returned the stumpery back to its original larger size. The work, led by head gardener Paul Walton, was challenging because of the garden's complex layout. Paul said, "The stumpery is not an easy place to get to, with narrow tunnels and steps at every point. We weren't able to get any machinery into the area, so the team used scaffold platforms, small winches and hand tools to move the stumps into place. Every stump is different, and it is like a complex puzzle getting the stumps to fit together, but the rewards are amazing. 37 oak stumps, each weighing between 100 kilograms and 750 kilograms, and measuring up to 8 feet in diameter, have been added to the feature. These had been felled by storms and were sourced from a private estate in Wales. The natural pockets within and between the stumps have been planted with shade-loving plants such as hellebores, ferns, dwarf irises, snowdrops, anemones, cyclamen, pulmonaria and willow gentian. Paul added, "The garden's creator, James Bateman, believed in visitors admiring the whole of a tree from tip to root. He chose oak stumps for their interesting structure and longevity. Not all trees, once the smaller roots have rotted away, leave the stump shape we look for. Sweet chestnut is another tree which will produce a similar stump, but oak does seem to be the best tree to use, and it's long-lasting as well." Paul and his team joined up the main stumpery with a large area of stumps in China, the China bit, a nearby area of the garden, to reinstate the feature's original size. The stumpery and china are just two parts of Biddulph Grange Garden, which was designed by horticulturalist James Bateman and his wife Maria to display rare and exotic plant specimens collected from around the world. Today, a visit is an extraordinary global journey, taking in Egypt, Italy, China and the Himalayas, all just a few miles from Stoke-on-Trent. Work continues to restore the wider garden as closely as possible to James Bateman's original visit, using historic descriptions, plans and archaeological evidence. Paul said, "Although a stumpery is a Victorian idea, it can earn a place in the modern garden, making an intriguing home for cherished plants, especially shade lovers and wildlife. One or two stumps can make a lovely feature in any garden. Over time, natural colonies of moss, lichen, and fungi will begin to establish, as well as creating a nice habitat for small mammals and insects. Add some plants around or in between the stumps, but don't overplant, as the stumps are the main feature." Jill Kerr, Group Relationship Manager for Blue Diamond Garden Centres, who part-funded the project, said, Blue Diamond Garden Centres are proud to be able to play such an important role in the Trust's gardens and parklands conservation projects. Bidulph Grange Garden Stumpery is one of the main projects Blue Diamond are helping the Trust to fund. This unique garden is one I have visited many times with my own family, and so I am personally delighted to have worked on such a project with the National Trust. The funding has been put to good use, not only in preserving the heritage of the Stumpery, but also enabling the team to now increase its size, which I am sure will attract more visitors to Bidulph Grange for many years to come. For more about Bidulph Grange Garden, visit nationaltrust.org.uk/Bidulph-Grange-Garden. This is all lowercase, nationaltrust.org.uk/Bidulph-Grange-Garden. Sounds great. I think I'll go.
I want to go to Bidulph Grange. Oh, we can go together.
And my nice dog.
Yeah. I've always wanted to go to Bidulph Grange, and it's not actually that far from me, but I've never sort of made an effort. I think you can actually get that on the number 9 bus or close to it, because that goes to Bidulph.
The yellow bus goes to Bidulph.
And that goes round my house, so yeah, I should be able to get on it.
It goes even round my son's house in Westbury Park. Well,
which means I think I can catch it like about 2 minutes from my house. I've never been. Right, okay, my next story is paramedics wasted 1,806 hours in Royal Stoke ambulance queues in just a week. Ambulance crews wasted 1,806 hours waiting to hand over A&E patients to Stoke-on-Trent's main hospital in just a week. The boss of the company has branded the performance unacceptable. It comes as the Royal Stoke has endured a winter of critical incidents, ambulance handover delays and beds unavailable due to seasonal viruses. Its chief executive, Simon Constable, said, "We have had a few difficult weeks. It's fair to say we went into winter in October, and as we went into winter, there's been a problem after problem ever since. A number of factors have played into that, and some were out of our control. Infectious diseases, of which there have been multiple, have played a real part in denting the resilience. We had 120 patients with flu at one time in January, and COVID and RSV, respiratory syncytial virus, and more recently norovirus. This is really debilitating infection, one of the most from a patient's point of view, and its effect on patient flow cannot be overstated. While there are external factors, there's a lot of things that we need to fix from an internal point of view to make things better than the current situation. One is ambulance holds, both in terms of length and number of holds. In the week commencing January 27th this year, we lost 1,729 hours as a result of ambulance holds, and in the week commencing February the 24th, we lost 1,806. However, the week commencing March the 3rd was 936 hours, so there was a significant improvement. That's the best figure we've had since December, but it's still unacceptable. An urgent and emergency care, the UEU recovery director, has been brought in at the Royal Stoke to try and help improve performance. A UEC improvement plan is also in place. Actions have included cancelling outpatient appointments, increasing the number of patient discharges every week, and opening 50 more beds at North Staffordshire Community Hospitals. So over to Liz. She's going to do her next story for us in batch number 6.
Defiant Newcastle Borough Council determined to stop any Stoke-on-Trent takeover. Newcastle Borough Council has agreed on an interim plan for local government reorganisation ahead of the March deadline, despite disagreements over which options should be pursued further. A special meeting of the council was organised to iron out plans on how a future deal will impact the area. The government's December 2024 white paper on devolution proposed the most significant shake-up of local government in 50 years. As part of this process, the Minister of State for Local Government and English Devolution, Jim McMahon, I think that's how you say it, invited Staffordshire Council leaders to submit interim plans by the 21st of March 2025, with final proposals due in November 2025. If implemented, devolution would bring greater funding and decision-making powers to the region, but would also result in the abolition of district and borough councils across Staffordshire. In response, Newcastle councillors are fighting to maintain independence and avoid being merged with other council areas. The council is considering six options for reorganisation, but has ruled out a merger with Stoke-on-Trent and North Staffordshire. The preferred option among councillors is to create a unitary authority covering Newcastle's existing boundaries. If approved, this new council would take over all services currently provided by both Staffordshire County Council and Newcastle Borough Council. However, this option falls short of the 500,000 population target set by the government. Council leader Simon Tagg said, "Our response to the forced local government reorganisation is rooted in the preservation of the borough's independence, but also the maintenance of a high standard of local services and provision. We all stand united that our governance model should be in the best interest of Newcastle at heart, and I think that is our first option, which is unitary for Newcastle Council. But we need to keep our options open on investigating as well on future models if the government says no to that. We're in the middle of a big regeneration programme for our town, which will go on for a number of years. We need to be focused on that, not on some forced reorganisation. The authority has also committed to exploring and investigating several other potential options, including a Newcastle and Staffordshire Moorlands Unitary Council, a West Staffordshire Unitary Council, which would be made up of Newcastle under Lyme, Stafford, Cannock, South Staffordshire, and a Newcastle and Shropshire Unitary Council. The Council has ruled out a Stoke-on-Trent and North Staffordshire option, which is favoured by Stoke-on-Trent City Council, and supportive of a Staffordshire-wide Unitary Council, which is favoured by Staffordshire County Council. The Labour Group proposed an amendment to rule out all options except a Newcastle-only Unitary Council. Group leader Councillor Dave Jones said the amendment would commit the council to explore the right option, which is a Newcastle Unitary Council. He said there must be absolutely no ambiguity about this being our preferred option as we open up negotiations with government. We have a significant fight ahead of us, which is why I find the inclusion of other options unhelpful, baffling, and not in the best interests of our residents. Supporting investigations of a Newcastle and Moorlands authority, joining forces with Stafford, Cannock and South Staffordshire, letting the county run everything and possibly the most confusing of all, linking up with nearby bankrupt Shropshire. I'm afraid we cannot support putting these recommendations to government, nor should we consider such suggestions to investigate unless we would be happy with one of those options as the outcome. And we certainly are not happy with those options. However, the amendment was defeated, with Conservative councillors arguing that limiting the options would increase the risk of a Stoke-on-Trent takeover. This meant that councillors were left to vote on exploring four alternative reorganisation options, which passed with Labour councillors voting against.
Many thanks for that. Okay, so my final story now for us in batch number six is Karina, 76, won't be able to go to Tesco if D&G bus route is axed. And I wasn't taking the mickey of it by the way, say I was going to play my violin. I actually feel for her. So a pensioner faces becoming a prisoner in her own home as D&G prepares to axe a bus route. Karina Birkin uses the number 40 Monday to Friday service to do her shopping at Longton Tesco, but D&G has told Stoke-on-Trent City Council that it can no longer commercially run the route. It operates between Hanley and Newstead, stopping at Stoke Station, Stoke, Mount Pleasant, Longton and Dresden, and the Saturday service is operated by First Potteries and guaranteed to continue for at least the next year. Now the service faces being axed from Monday, April the 14th, unless Stoke-on-Trent City Council can actually find a solution. Karina, aged 76 from Dresden, said, "I've got health issues, so I need the bus to get out and about. I can walk on level ground, but even that leaves me breathless if the journey is too long. But to try to get up to any kind of bank with my shopping is out of the question. Myself and a lot of other people are going to be very, very isolated as a result of this. To get out of the house will be completely reliant on help from family and friends, but we want independence, so it is going to hit us hard. I think it's going to have a massive impact on the local community. There's quite a few flats around Longton Park that house the elderly and people with infirmities. There's lots of young people too, like students who need the bus to get around affordably. I know that most people have cars now, but for those of us who don't, the results will be devastating. I really hope it survives. I use the bus to do all my shopping. The number 40 is so handy because it goes straight to London Bus. Longton bus station, which is where Tesco is. That's where most of the elderly people around here go to. It also goes to Stoke and Henley, so you can have a look around the shops if you feel like it. The bus service is pretty poor here. They don't start running until 10 a.m. and then they stop running at 2:40 p.m. but that's still manageable. I can get out and do my bits and shopping. But now, what are people going to do without it? D&G has not responded to Stoke-on-Trent Live's request for a statement regarding the future of the number 40 Monday to Friday service, but Stoke-on-Trent City Council responded to the issue. Councillor Finlay Gordon McCusker, Cabinet Member for Transport, said, "I know how much people rely on the number 40 bus. I've talked to residents who use it every day to get to work, to appointments, to see family, and losing this service would be a real blow, and I'm not okay with that. That's why I've asked the council team to explore every possible option to keep this route running. They're actively monitoring passenger numbers and I'm pushing for solutions. Through our bus service improvement plan, we've added nearly 30 new services to make public transport better, faster and more reliable. But here's the problem. When private operators cut routes, it undermines all that progress. That's not how we build a system that works for people. We need real investment in public transport, not just patchwork fixes. I'm going to keep fighting to make sure that we have a network that works for everyone, not just when it's profitable." Keep listening. We've got more news coming up in batch number 7, and we've also got the answers to Liz's one and only quiz. So keep listening.